This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credits stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and a missing University of Pittsburgh student is what a lot of people are talking about in this town. On vacation, a spring break, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, last seen on Thursday, early on the beach there, a 20-year-old, and help me with the pronunciation, Paul.
I think it's, I'm guessing at it, but I think it's Sudiksha Kananki. Sudiksha. S-U-D-I-K-S-H-A. Sudiksha.
And she apparently was walking on the beach with a group of five girls, students, and then
a guy was with them as well. So
right,
I think it was
there were a couple of guys,
yeah.
And then apparently they continued walking, and she was separated from the other four.
Yeah, they say that the reporting that I've seen says that most of the group went back to wherever it is that the resort was, and Sudiksha stayed to swim with a man who stayed with her. And now the reporting is, at least some of the reports that are coming, this is kind of an unusual story in that we're getting, you know, different angles pretty much every so many hours. But now we've got a report from ABC that says the officials believe that she drowned, that they were in the water at the time and got hit by a big wave. Don't know that for a fact, but they did question the young man who was with her. No one has been charged or detained. The investigation is ongoing, but this is, just so terribly sad. Such a beautiful young lady just getting started in life, and here she is on what amounts to a paradise, beautiful beach, and now she's missing. It's horrible.
And we'll continue to bring you the latest on the missing University of Pittsburgh student. Spring break in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I'd like to stress, by the way, that one of the people that was interviewed by ABC said, based on her last known location near the beach, we think that's what happened, but there's no evidence to support the conclusion. So it's kind of speculative, really.
Well, the first thing I thought of was a story from years ago, Natalie Holloway,
right,
from Alabama.
Exactly the thing that popped up for me, too.
Was on a spring break vacation, and then it's just took years and years to determine exactly what happened. Hopefully they'll find her, and we'll continue to follow this story. The weather obviously has a lot of people thinking spring this weekend after we had that rare snow after warm weather that was mixed with dust on Friday.
Isn't that bizarre?
So this was apparently from the desert.
Are you buying that? From Christine Emery thinks that it is, was suspended in the clouds. It came down with the snow, and because it was in snow rather than rain, it, when the snow melted away, it left the the grime behind, whereas with rain, would washed it away, right?
Well, I've seen it on the cars. I noticed it.
It's just bizarre.
And it was, it wasn't salt, and it wasn't mud, but there was some kind of substance on, I noticed on our vehicles yesterday.
A thin layer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even in the air yesterday, I was outside quite a bit. I noticed when I went in, kind of, you know how you wipe your eyes, felt like there was, you know, dirt.
Grime.
I don't know if that's still part of it, but we're going to find out. We're going to check in with the National Weather Service. And while we're talking about this, we also, and you talked about the blood moon lunar eclipse that's coming up on Thursday. The moon will turn deep shades of rusty red throughout more than an hour-long totality, producing what astronomers think will be an amazing sight in the night sky Thursday into Friday.
Why red?
It's the blood moon's, the tendency is to turn a reddish hue when covered by the Earth's shadow.
Okay.
So if you think about light being waves in the spectrum, the Earth creates this tint that on the moon that looks, makes it look like it's red, but it's just really an optical illusion.
Right now, it looks like a light bulb. It's really bright this morning.
And we will have a chance to see it here in North America. Here's the problem, though. You're going to have to get up the middle of the night to see it, because at its peak, it'll be like 2:30 a.m. So you're not going to be getting up. Well, you'll be up. You might see it.
By the way, I would just like to register my complaint, if I may,
what's
please.
What's that?
It says here 6:13, but my body says, it's 5:13.
Oh, yeah? You're feeling it?
Oh, yeah. I had trouble. I had trouble this morning. And knowing that it was going to happen, you know, that I was going to have to wake up a little bit earlier, I woke up earlier, like around midnight, and then I had trouble getting back to sleep. And
it's always strange.
What a pain in the neck.
But I kind of like that it's going to be lighter in the evening, this week in particular.
But it makes it so much more difficult for me to get to sleep when it stays light like that.
Yeah, but there's two people listening that go to bed as early as you.
Mm-hmm.
You and whoever that other guy is. But I feel your pain. I do. But I like the fact that it will be lighter later into the evening.
Oh,
it really signifies spring, and with the warmer weather this week.
By the way, thinking of spring, on my way down the hill from my plant down to 228, I spotted in two or three different groups about 20 does all along the road, nibbling away on the grass.
See the deer? Does the deer have any doe? Yeah, $2. Yeah, but,
I mean, when you see them out like in those kind of groupings in greater numbers, you know that things are starting to switch.
I saw a robin pecking on worms yesterday in the grass. They said this is when the worms start tilling the soil for you, right? In the month of March. And that said, the big news for sports fans, and this was big news late in the day, they're calling it a blockbuster trade. Steelers trade a second-round draft pick from this year for DK Metcalf from the Seattle Seahawks, two-time pro bowler who is fast. He is so fast. He's big, too. 6'4". I thought they said, Jeff said, 230 pounds.
Yeah, you want to know how fast he is? Have you seen the highlight reel on him?
He's flying
by, guys. The Seahawks are going in for a touchdown, right? And the quarterback, I don't know if it was Wilson or not, but quarterback throws the ball toward the end zone. They're like on the 10-yard line or thereabout. And one of the Arizona Cardinals intercepts the ball and heads down.
And he catches him.
And Metcalf comes out of nowhere and catches him and tackles him. He's also got a mean streak. He gets penalized quite a lot because he's in people's faces, but he likes to hit. He likes to block and hit.
Hines Ward.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and Hines Ward just had a birthday this week. They were showing highlights. So DK Metcalf, we're going to talk to Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn later this morning in our 9 o'clock hour, and our sports brethren all think this is a great deal for the Steelers.
I think it is too, don't you?
Yeah, now they got to determine who's throwing the football
to. I can just hear you saying DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. I like it.
Yep.
The free Odyssey app, take us with you wherever you go, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's free, and it gives you an opportunity to follow along, and we have a lot of audio, digital quality that you can check out our podcasts. So many options, including a rewind feature. When you miss something and you want to go back and listen, you can hear it in its entirety. Over the weekend, a lot of people, Paul, you said you had a little trouble getting to sleep last night.
Yeah, my body wasn't ready to go to bed when the clock said it was time to go to bed. You know,
how about you, Aaron?
I woke up naturally this morning over the weekend, probably because I got to sleep in a little. I didn't feel the shift too much, but I woke up naturally, like right on time before my alarm went off, which is weird. Yeah. I don't know how, Paul. Very weird.
Well, how about this? They say there's an increase in automobile accidents of 6%. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but you figure the number of drivers across the country, and that's because people are somehow affected by the time change.
They're groggy.
Yeah. Fatigued. Yeah.
I mean, I could go curl up on the couch over there in the sales office and take a quick nap right now.
Right now.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I could do that anytime. But I got to say, being outside yesterday, I started putzing in the yard, right? You start looking at things you got to do.
I mean, it's really hard to not go out when it's that beautiful. It was so nice and sunny.
But there were so many neighbors out just walking. And I kind of joke that this time of year they come out, it's like Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, we're going to see people we haven't seen probably for months.
Yeah, I actually saw neighbors I hadn't seen since the fall. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot they live here. And it was just like, walking around.
I was seeing neighbors out walking. And, you know, I have a couple of neighbors who are devoted walkers. They'll walk in all kinds of weather. But yesterday, more than a dozen went by. It's a walking community.
Yeah, this weather does people a world of good. It is also, I'll have you know, you might not realize this, and I think I should bring up a special sound for this. It's a special day. It's International Bagpipe Day.
Hey!
Wow.
It's National Napping Day, too, Paul, to your point.
There you go. Here's the problem. You can't take a nap with the bagpipe going.
International Day of Women Judges. There you go. And you just had, isn't this Women's Awareness Month?
It is.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a bagpiper in person?
As you were playing that, I was trying to think. I've seen a kilt in person, but I don't think I've seen anyone play the bagpipe, no.
I have. The famous Black Watch from Scotland came on our TV show years ago, and I didn't realize it takes 7 years to perfect playing the bagpipe on, you know, average.
I could imagine. We know what it sounds like. Imagine. It would stick out very aggressively if someone hit a wrong, you know, just, I don't know if I've heard anyone mess it up before.
Well, how would you know?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, would it sound so different than what we're used to hearing? I don't know.
One thing that I do like about bagpipes is when they're in the parade and you've got a bunch of the guys, you know, marching together with the drums and everything. I like that song they play. I don't know what it's called, but.
Have you ever worn a kilt?
No, thank you.
No skirts.
I don't care to do that thing.
There's an old joke about that. I'm just going to let that one go. Meanwhile, I was on the set of KDK TV News, and the bagpipers came, and they faked, like, they showed me how to hold it, but it looked like I was playing, but it was really another bagpiper off sight of the camera. So I started walking behind the set, and John Shumway, he thought I was playing it at first. He's like, oh, my God, what a talent.
You're like, oh, absolutely. And I'm also thinking about you in the opera. What's with people just dressing you up?
I've never worn a kilt, though. I'm willing to learn, I guess. That's what it is. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick, 10 until 2. 638 News Radio KDKA, Larry Richard with our anchorman Paul Rasmussen from the National Weather Service. We welcome meteorologist Jason Frazier. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
Good. So we've had this wild turn of weather where I live, I ended up with over 3 inches of snow on Friday, and then other people didn't get much. And then we hear there may have been a mix of dirt in the atmosphere that came with it. What is the deal? Because people have seen some kind of substance on their cars over the weekend.
Yeah, it shows it's very interesting how weather in other areas of the country can actually even impact us here. So if people may have seen maybe some of the news on Thursday, there's these dust storms that were occurring across eastern New Mexico into Texas, where all this dust with 60-mile-per-hour winds was being kicked up in the air. Well, the same storm system that brought us the snow was able to lift that dust up in the air and still remained lofted in the air. So when it finally precipitated, it fell with the snow onto cars and other vehicles.
Yeah, and I think I noticed it myself, and then even just in the atmosphere in general over the weekend, it's too early for super pollen, right?
Right. So we haven't really quite hit our temperatures to really get the trees activated, things going. So that's not really yet. So this was all just kind of dust from the desert southwest that was lofted in the air. And eventually when we precipitated with the snow, those dust particles were combined with the water that was in the air to fall down to the surface. So it left things kind of looking, you know, almost as if it was pollen on our cars. But fortunately, we do have a nice week for folks to maybe get outside and maybe do a little cleanup with that. But, you know, it shows that how weather in other areas of the country can still impact us here and what things we have to track in the weather service.
Jason, I'm curious to know what you think about this theory about why we had such a noticeable amount of this dust, dirt, whatever you want to call it, on cars and stuff. It came down with snow. Had it come down with rain, it would have washed away. But with the snow, it wound up leaving the residue behind.
Yeah, so the snow being a kind of more of solid particle, it kind of, this dirt stays trapped with that snow versus it can come down with the rain, but the rain naturally kind of settles and washes away. So by sitting there within the snow and the snow kind of melting, what's residual left over is that dirt. And the melting is occurring with evaporation and stuff like that. So it's more easily able to leave a layer of that dirt on various surfaces.
Well, while we have you, Jason, mm-hmm. meteorologist at National Weather Service, this is a great weather week.
It sure is. I mean, we're going to be looking at days where we are going to have temperatures even upwards of 20 degrees above our normal high temperature for that day. So going to be plenty of sunshine, very high confidence, and we're not going to see really any rain and not going to have a whole lot to worry about until maybe next weekend. So hopefully people get out and enjoy a little bit of the weather. I know it's been kind of been a while since we've had a stretch like this of dry and warm. So definitely a lovely week for folks to enjoy.
Did you guys, do you talk about like the blood moon and the lunar eclipse? Is that part of your coffee conversation with the gaggle of meteorologists you work with?
Oh, we're always interested in everything that's going on, and so having actual good viewings of those sort of lunar events is always nice. I know with the region being one of the more cloudier regions across the U.S., sometimes we kind of miss out on those sort of activities. So for folks who are interested in some of the astrological features, now is a great time to kind of head outside at nighttime and enjoy what you see in the sky.
Yeah, that'll be Thursday into Friday very early, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Jason, circling back to the snow that we got, it came down in a really narrow area, unusual. I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's been a while since we've had one of those sort of systems, even throughout this whole entire winter season. Any sort of narrow bands we had was all because we were having kind of lake-enhanced sort of snow. This was a true narrow band from a storm system that's a result in the snow. A lot of times it's a little more widespread, but it makes it very difficult at times to forecast because any slight shift could cause some areas to get more snow than what the Pittsburgh region did see. But hopefully people enjoyed it, and what's fortunate is road temperatures were actually still elevated, so we didn't really see a whole lot of impacts from that snow.
Appreciate the time this morning, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any impact, by the way, for the National Weather Service related to federal job cuts? Have you heard anything?
If you would like to speak on that, I can get you connected with a representative who can speak on that, but unfortunately I can't speak at that at this time.
Okay, appreciate it. Jason, meteorologist at AccuWeather, Frazier. So we'll find out. I understand they don't want to talk about it. But I'm curious because I saw NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as part of the whole wave of job cuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that is NOAA. That,
right.
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
They're related to it. But so, Aaron, we'll find out who
we'll get
we
on
can
it. Yeah,
talk
we'll
to
deeper.
About that, because obviously that information is very important. You know, it's one of the most critical things that affects everybody, naturally. The weather. In the Big K Morning Show, there's been a lot of talk about EVs, electric vehicles. And there was a huge push and timeline set to do this. But has that changed with the new regime? I think you're going to be surprised at what we're hearing. Also, this story, Paul, about, and I saw the video, it appears that police are shooting paintballs at students in Morgantown.
Some kind of projectile.
Yeah, firing, that says projectiles. Some are reporting it's paintballs at students during a chaotic, snowball fight.
Yeah, it apparently happened during their St. Patrick's Day celebrations.
And there were snowballs being thrown. And what you see is police, I mean, that would be very unsettling. If you saw police in full, in some cases, looks like they're in riot gear, and they pull up a weapon. Now, you don't know necessarily that it's a paintball gun.
Terrifying.
I don't know that I've ever seen this. So trying to sort through what exactly happened there.
Well, I guess we're going to get some kind of an official word from either A, Morgantown police, or university police. At least the university will have something to say about this. Also, the report that I have indicates that there was perhaps some irritant used, like a tear gas.
All right, completely unrelated, but I thought you would find this interesting. Aaron, finding a job stressful enough, but you found us last year. Aren't you lucky?
The luckiest.
The luckiest lady. All right. How about a manager rigging an interview by playing games on potential hirees? The
latest is
the wobbly chair test. One company in South Carolina cut one chair leg shorter, so it wobbled. They waited to see if applicants would be bold enough to stop the interview and ask for a better chair, or if they would just try to manage the wobbling.
Does it say if they got the job or not based on what they did?
Another is a water test where they see how fast or slow you drink water when offered. Like if you're a gulper, what does that mean? They're not going to hire you?
Right.
I remember reading recently about a guy who does something similar during interviews. He'll have the person sit down and they'll serve them coffee.
True.
And
with
then
Anchorman
he wants to see
Paul
what they
Rasmussen.
Do with the cup at the end of the interview.
Welcome to Monday, the day after daylight savings took place at 2 a.m.
Where do I take this back and can I clean it
on
up?
Sunday
that kind
morning.
Of thing.
Did you get up to change your clocks, Aaron?
To me, if I were invited to a job interview and I was provided with coffee,
kitchen,
I don't think I'd be thinking about washing.
It's nice that the phones adjust.
Right? I had a brief moment of confusion on the way. Yes.
None of us would get the job.
Because I have to plug in the phone and on Apple CarPlay, the time's correct. But on my dashboard,
be bold
in the fiercely
and say, this chair's
redesigned Nissan Rogue-Lary, it still was an hour behind. I got to change the clock in there. I thought it would do that automatically.
Well, it's supposed to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
I might have it not switched on or something. I don't know.
I checked. When you go to settings and it says clock, it says it should be automatic with your time zone and where you are, but it didn't happen.
Hmm.
So you have to hit set manually. And then it's easy because all you have to do is hit the hour one. Obviously, advance it 1 hour.
And you mean in cars, it should be automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always is. I found interesting that it's not.
Just like your clock.
My last car was this way.
Yeah.
I would have to change it manually, even though it was supposed to update, because I had the little checkbox clicked there and said, you know, automatic update.
And if you're really confused, just search on YouTube, how do I change the clock and put your model, make, and year in there, and it'll
honestly
come
think
up.
It's really cool that you can go to YouTube and find answers to these silly household questions, you know, typical.
It's actually very easy.
It's like your visual
first
Google.
World problems, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really embarrassing when you do that for something simple, and how do I change a battery in my key fob? And the video starts, all right, Stooge.
Let me break this down for you.
Let me show you how it is. All right, a lot of talk about tariffs. We'll have an update over the weekend. CBS's Derek Walder.
We're going to have jobs. We're going to have open factories. It's going to be great.
President Trump downplaying concerns about the possibility of a recession, but also not ruling it out.
I hate to predict things like that. There is a period of transition because what we're doing is very big.
The new comments come after a week of whiplash on Wall Street, triggered by threats to implement new retaliatory reciprocal tariffs against Mexico and Canada on April 2nd, including those on auto imports.
The next Prime Minister of Canada.
Canada's incoming Prime Minister, former banker Mark Carney, commented on the possibility of a trade war Sunday.
The Canadian government has rightly retaliated and is rightly retaliating with our own tariffs that will have maximum impact in the United States and minimum impact here in Canada.
Patience appears to be wearing thin on Capitol Hill, especially among Democrats.
Tariffs are an important tool in the toolkit. I think it just, the way he's handling tariffs is the way he's handling everything else right now.
And the possibility of a government shutdown Friday has also added to the economic uncertainty.
Could happen. I mean, the Democrats want that. They want to destroy the country.
The president is backing a Republican bill to extend funding through the end of the year. That includes an increase in defense spending. But it's unclear whether House Speaker Mike Johnson has enough votes to pass it.
I think we're really going to be learning over the next 24 hours what's in it and what's not in it.
We're not going to have to wait long to find out what happens because the House could vote as early as Tuesday.
CBS's Derek Waller. So we've heard about these, you know, threats they're going to shut down the government before, but this one, we'll see.
The shoe's on the other foot this time. It's not the Republicans threatening a shutdown, it's the Democrats.
And by the end of the week, what happens is they attach a bunch of things they want to attach, and one side or the other doesn't like those attachments.
What do they call these? A continuing resolution or something like that, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the incoming Canadian Prime Minister, he hasn't been sworn in yet as the Prime Minister, but he will be, I guess. That's
oh, he's talking.
Mark Carney, here's one of his comments from over the weekend.
We didn't ask for this fight. But Canadians are always ready when someone else drops the gloves. So the Americans, they should make no mistake. In trade, as in hockey, Canada will win.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is, again, the new Prime Minister.
Mark Carney, he was elected as the leader of Canada's Liberal Party. And then when he is sworn in as Prime Minister, because whoever's in charge in Ottawa, which is the Liberal Party right now, but now he'll call a general election and we'll see what happens after that. But obviously pretty strong talk there. and then we have the China angle on all of this, Larry.
What's China say?
Yeah, the retaliatory tariffs on certain American goods come into effect today, right? So here's CBS's business analyst, Jill Schlesinger.
The Chinese will slap a 15% tariff on chicken, wheat, corn, and cotton from the U.S., and a 10% tariff on sorghum, soybeans, pork, beef, aquatic products, fruits, vegetables, and dairy products.
Wow, pretty broad tariffs there.
Yeah, now they're going to probe, and I find this interesting, the Justice Department is probing egg prices to see, right, because that was actually a campaign platform issue,
right?
In specifically egg prices, and we've seen what egg prices have done, doubled the average price for a dozen eggs released Friday has dropped slightly, $6.85 per dozen. However, many grocery stores sell their eggs at a loss to get customers in the door. They call that lost leaders.
Yeah. By the way, Larry, getting back to the tariffs in Canada and China, in terms of exports, United States exports to countries, our top exporting partners are Canada and Mexico. About 17% of our exports go to both Canada and Mexico. And then the next largest one, number three on the list, is China. Just over 7% of our exports go to China.
So there you go.
Yep.
We'll keep you posted what happens next, but it's a very important week when it comes to this government shutdown. And I know we've heard it before, and you ignore it for the most part. I get that. But this time, it may be different. In just 2 weeks from tomorrow, it's our annual Feed the Need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, raising money to provide meals for our neighbors. And you have been so generous. You can text NEED to 50155 on our Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union text line, and your donation will provide meals locally. Brought to you by Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, and Memorial Highway. Get the details at kdkradio.com. Never a surprise how generous this community is and has been for so long. So that is Tuesday, March 25th. Paul, this story about the missing Pitt student is national. It's international news, really. On spring break, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, with friends from the University of Pittsburgh. She's a native of Virginia,
mm-hmm,
and just 20 years old.
There, I'm cruising through my news apps on my phone on Sunday afternoon, and it's the front page story on the New York Post, for example.
And this is reminiscent of a story about Natalie Holloway from Alabama. And in that case, and it took so long to sort through to find out, hopefully this family, in some way, shape, or form, she would be found. Obviously, that's the first wish. And second, whatever is that's gone on, they've interviewed this young man that was apparently with her on the beach.
Yeah, the story, the latest version of this story that I've looked at says that the two of them went in and were swimming. They parted with the group they were with. The others went back, I guess, to the resort, and these two stayed on the beach 4 o'clock in the morning about, and apparently were in the water, and they assumed that a big wave swept over them, and she was caught up in it and drowned. I don't know. That's the theory. You would think by now that they would have, charged somebody. They've interviewed the young man, and apparently no one has been charged, detained at this point.
In that story about Natalie Holloway, happened in May of 2005, so it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
And there's been a documentary. The case resulted in a worldwide media search. Body still never recovered. In this case, it happened in Aruba. But I can't imagine for the family, obviously, your worst nightmares. And the University of Pittsburgh saying they're reaching out, they're in touch with the family, and they're doing all they can do from here to bring the latest information. So we will continue to do that. A lot of people also talking about the weather here in this extraordinary great week we're going to have.
I wasn't ready to see this AccuWeather forecast this morning with a high of 77 on Friday. Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't he say earlier the highs are like running 20 degrees above normal?
Yeah, and the record for the date Friday, 79, set in 1990. So it's been a while. But that's the way March is. You have this four-season month going, and that's the case. And in the midst of it, you have a total lunar eclipse coming up overnight, Thursday into Friday. And it may be clear enough here that if people were that interested to get up that early, like 2:30 in the morning, it's a process that takes the time. But I guess at its peak, the blood moon, which is the cast of shade that the Earth's shadow makes it look like on the moon's surface. It's not actually red. There is a red planet. You know that one?
Mars.
Yeah. I'm colorblind, so this is all news to me. I couldn't tell you what color it was. You know, when you look up at the stars at night, and there are different colors, but I know that the planets are the ones that aren't twinkling. I learned that a long time ago, because they're much closer than the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big story that people are talking about today is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, anytime they make a move, it's news, but this is being called a blockbuster.
Name the last time that they made a move like this.
It's a big one.
I mean, this is almost unprecedented to be bringing in one of the top free agents for a big, big contract, $150 million over 5 years. This guy's got to be something special, this Metcalf, right?
6'4", 230, runs a 40-yard dash in 4.33 seconds.
Wow.
And so exciting that Ben Roethlisberger posted on social media in a helmet that that looks like it's his locker, but I'm guessing this is his house.
Yeah,
right?
I think they...
He must have a man cave.
Coach T, are you kidding me? DK Metcalf on one side, GP on the other, Muth work in the middle. Man, I might need to throw my hat in the ring. If you're looking for a guy, I might still have a couple throws in me.
You know what? If you got a couple throws in you and you're healthy now that you've had a couple of seasons off, come back.
And it does raise the question, by the way, not only who will be throwing the ball to Metcalf, but will Pickens be catching any of those balls, or is something different going to happen with him as well?
There's a little jealousy. There's got to be. You know?
I mean, both of these are the kind of players that want the ball all the time. So somebody's going to be unhappy if they both stay.
He's making more than me. We'll see.
You could pay me for that, and I would be happy to catch just a few less balls.
Yeah, we're 90 minutes away from talking to Jeff Hathorn. Can't wait to get his take.
Hey, morning show, Larry Richard with Brian Caranta. Every Monday we visit Secure Money Advisors, and today's topic, planning for longevity. Will your money last? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Maybe less, maybe more, if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's the multi-million-dollar question. It's every fear for every retiree.
Here's what I think is ironic. The subject of the risk of outliving your money.
Yeah, right.
In a way, that's kind of, you know, in a perfect world.
Right. Yeah. It's a major risk that no one had to think about 40 years ago. But today you do. And if you know, and this is why I'm such a big proponent in what I call longevity insurance. And another way of saying longevity insurance is income annuity.
Right.
Because that's what it is. I hate when I hear people say, well, annuities are a horrible investment. Well, actually, I agree with that statement because they are a horrible investment. But they're not an investment. They're an insurance policy, right? It's insurance.
It's a different way to look at it. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it really is what it is. See, the industry has promoted it as a safe alternative investment.
Right.
But if you really think about what it does, it's providing insurance. It's almost like life insurance in reverse. Life insurance pays you when you die, but an annuity pays you while you're living. And it the way that it's done is it uses the same actuarial science as life insurance does, right? So if you qualify for life insurance, the insurance company's looking at your health, family history, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how long do we think this person's going to live? And they're trying to get their bet right.
Right. They're betting on their actuarial people.
That's right.
Doing their due diligence and figuring out its statistics.
You got it. My brother said to me one time, we got him a $5 million term life insurance policy when he was younger because he's got, you know, three young kids. He says, how in the world did they give me $5 million and it only cost me $150 a month? And I said, well, that's really easy. I mean, statistically, about 90%+ of term policies never even pay out. So think about that for an insurance company. That's a lot of money being made.
And again, term is you just paying a premium monthly and there's no additional financial benefit.
Yeah.
It's only for that term.
That term, it's like renting. How long are you going to rent this apartment for? A year.
As opposed to where you are accumulating.
Yes.
Based on your premiums.
Yes. And permanent insurance is like owning a home. You build equity just like you would build equity in a home as you're paying off your mortgage and the price of the home is increasing.
So the longer you have it, the longer you live, the more money is building up.
Correct.
And then there is a withdrawal amount at the end.
Yeah.
Of your life.
Yeah, there's it, right.
In that annuity for your beneficiaries. Is that correct?
Well, in this case, we're talking about life insurance. But yes, for an annuity, here's the great thing about the insurance component of an annuity. So when you put a certain portion of money in a new, I'll give you a great example. So I did a case a couple weeks ago, put $500,000 into an income annuity that was going to generate within a five-year period about $60,000 a year guaranteed for my client's life. If he died, guaranteed for his wife's life. Now think about the payout of that, by the way, too. You put in $500,000 and a few years later, it's paying you a little over $60,000. I mean, that's like a 12% yield on your money. Now, as you withdraw the money from the income annuity, okay?
Right.
It does have an interest rate attached to it. Now the question is how much will it earn over the life of it? But so let's just say for argument's sake that we earn nothing, okay? And every year we take money out, that balance is going down in that annuity, and we eventually hit zero. Okay, well, that's not a problem because this is where the insurance component kicks in. It's going to continue to pay even if the balance goes to zero. See, that's the thing that people don't realize is it pays even if the balance goes to zero. And so you can take a small amount of money and get a large payout. Okay, and get more leverage on your money than if you were just trying to withdraw it from the stock market.
Now, it makes a lot of sense. And obviously, you're looking for strategies to stretch your savings.
Yes. And since we have the insurance component on this, right, we're talking about longevity and the risk of outliving your money with an income annuity. You cannot outlive it.
Spending plan.
Yes.
Learn more about making your money last and planning for longevity. RightTrackPittsburgh.com, Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. And we'll talk to you next Monday. Great.
Five. These are the top stories driving the news every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. One of the things that will be talked about, whether you're into sports or not, are the big contracts being delivered in the National Football League. Yesterday, of course, the blockbuster move, that's what it's being called by many. The Steelers acquiring DK Metcalf from the Seattle Seahawks for a second-round draft pick this year.
And they've agreed to a five-year contract worth of $150 million, Larry.
How can that be?
Which sounds like not much when you compare it to what Myles Garrett and the Buffalo Bills quarterback, Josh Allen, signed for.
Yes.
Huge numbers.
So, Myles Garrett, it was anticipated he might move to another team because he really wanted to have a chance to win a championship, and many don't believe that Cleveland and the Browns have a chance to do that. So, but he ends up staying because they threw huge money at him.
It's an annual salary of $40 million over 4 years, and it includes, get this, a $123.5 million in guaranteed money.
Man.
So he's now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
What would your life be like when you knew at that point, I mean, you're beyond set? Like, how would that change how you go about your daily business?
Well, I don't know. I have to ask Josh Allen because he got an even better deal. Listen to this one. 6 years, $330 million. $250 million guaranteed. And the largest total given an NFL player ever, by the way.
So that's $55 million a year. Average, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take 330 by six, but you're saying a majority of that is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So people understand if he gets injured game one this season, he's guaranteed that money.
Yep. He's still going to coast with $250 million rather of the total. Now, here's another big contract that could be happening. The Minnesota Vikings, for some strange reason, are letting Sam Darnold get away.
I'm not sure why, what their reasoning is. He had a great season with Minnesota, fit very well into their offense, and they're going to let him get away. Well, guess who's expected to make an offer? Multiple reports, and some of them from some of the most reliable people in sports coverage, are saying that the Steelers and the Seahawks are going to be competing for Sam Darnold. And if they do sign him, I'm sure Darnold will get a handsome contract. Nothing like what, you know, Josh Allen got, but still big money.
Well, 26 minutes ago, Adam Schefter, who's this super insider, is
one of the most reliable,
is saying the Steelers are considering Aaron Rodgers. So that's Adam Schefter.
So there's a lot of options on the table, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So next hour, we'll talk to our Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathorn, sort through all of this, but expect a lot of news now. The active free agency is underway.
Yeah, this has got to be an upbeat week for Steelers fans.
A lot
fans.
Of people.
I mean, bringing on
the weather does
DK Metcalf is a
level
real
of
coup.
Joy.
That's all they talk about.
I mean, you know,
it
was clear at the very end of the year that they needed another wide receiver badly. But to get a top-shelf one like this,
who also wears many
that's outstanding.
Hats, yes, so we'll talk to Jeff about education. That. Which is really one of the big topics, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Education from the federal level is now being dismantled. The Education Department with Linda McMahon, who was married to Vince McMahon. She's one of the founders of the WWE. Of course, her father-in-law, the late Vince McMahon Sr., started it all. But that has nothing to do with her and Trump's first administration being head of the Small Business Administration and now the head of the Education Department with a dictate to basically move yourself out of a job.
It's going to be interesting because you have all these things going on at once. Now, yeah, you lined it up in regards to the Department of Education. You also have the Supreme Court decision that came out that halted the frozen funds. And the swing vote was Amy Coney Barrett, who's being attacked by the MAGA movement now for voting against these funds staying frozen. Now you also have a continuing resolution coming up where there's an opportunity in negotiations to say, okay, we're going to keep the government funded, but we're going to cut some of the money, and it could include funding that's going to the Department of Education. It's going to be interesting to see that we see all the rhetoric out there, but we also see some backsteps by the Trump administration with what they've been trying to do since January. The CR, the latest Supreme Court decisions, all of this will show what they're going to actually be able to do and perhaps be able to cut over the next 6 months versus the rhetoric that we're hearing, because it's really where the money lays. That's where the decision ends up being. Where does your money lay?
Do you think states, because the president has said, I want to leave education up to the states, do you think states embrace that overall, or how much money is linked from the federal government that trickles down to the states for education that won't be there anymore, potentially?
It's going to be a back and forth, because in one regard, do states want the autonomy for education? Absolutely. That they do not want the additional regulations that do come from the federal government. At the same exact time, when there's a catastrophe, COVID, every school district in the United States of America and private schools looked to the federal government and said, we need emergency money. And they were flooded with billions of dollars, a lot of which has yet to be spent, has to be forfeited back to the federal government. When it comes to special needs, there's a level of civil rights protection that may or may not come from the states. If you have a state that doesn't have a whole lot of funding and you're mandated by federal protections to provide for kids that have special needs when it comes to learning disabilities or physical disabilities, that stuff is federally protected and enforced. If that goes away, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, hey, I'm used to my kid that, you know, is in a wheelchair having access to the public school, and the public school and a state may say, we just don't have the money to redo that ramp. Therefore, your kid's going to have to go to school at home. Well, I want my kid to be socialized. We don't have the money for it. That's where the gap with the lack of enforcement from the federal government comes into play. And people may say a state would never do that. But it's in a lot of people's lifetimes where states made a lot of curious decisions when it came to education.
To be continued. That said, some other agencies have been under scrutiny. One of those is NOAA. N-O-A-A, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. And part of that's the National Weather Service. This is, and many of these jobs are scientifically based. And then the other biggie is U.S. health agencies being asked or offered a $25,000 buyout. Most of the 80,000 federal workers responsible for researching diseases, inspecting food, administering Medicare and Medicaid are being offered a $25,000 buyout. I'm curious how many will take it. $25,000 sounds like a lot of money in one chunk, and it is, but it's not going to last them.
And it's not security. And I think that Americans need to understand that protections against natural catastrophes and protection against disease and, hate to say it on a Monday morning, but biological warfare, those are national sovereignty issues. Your people cannot be contributing and successful in keeping the United States safe and prosperous if they're constantly fighting off or recovering from floods or hurricanes or tornadoes, or as we saw in the West earlier this year, fires. And just the same, if you're at risk of people threatening the United States with unintentional or intentional biological attacks, I'll call it attacks in an air quote, you have to have something in place that keeps your people safe. And I'm sorry, people seem to forget that biological warfare, this is something that had been studied for decades by many nations. And there is an obligation of the government to keep us safe from that type of attack. So when you're looking at cutting those jobs and you just see it as bureaucratic bloat, it kind of goes back to what Donald Trump said. There needs to be a pivot away from of cutting government down with a hatchet and more with a scalpel, which people have been okay with going after waste, fraud, and abuse, but you can't be vulnerable in the process of that because other countries are not going to stop what they're doing just because we do what we do here in the United States.
Well, those 80,000 federal workers, again, under the Health Administration, have until 5 p.m. Friday to submit a response. We'll see. More to come with Lenny McAllister and the Big K Morning Show. Big K Morning Show, we continue our conversation with Lenny McAllister. It'll be interesting to see what happens in this mayoral race in Pittsburgh. For all intents and purposes, the winner of the primary is the de facto winner in this city, based on the historical, you know, accounts of we going back to a Republican mayor when?
1932.
Yes, 1932. That's pretty remarkable, actually. So that's unlikely to change, which means incumbent Ed Gainey and Corey O'Connor, who is now the Allegheny County Comptroller, whoever wins the primary is going to be the mayor.
Yeah.
Or will continue to be the mayor. But it looks like Corey O'Connor's gained a lot of momentum and raised a ton of money.
And with the vote from the Democratic Committee, this is where, and not to, you know, talk bad of anybody, but the average everyday Pittsburgher looks at them as the muckety-mucks. They're the insiders. They're the people that don't really understand me. And so there's two sentiments going on. If you look at what happened over the weekend, it was a close race between who got the endorsement. But it's an endorsement. The paper endorsement used to mean a big deal around the nation about 30, 40 years ago. Not as much anymore because of the influence of social media and activists. Just the same, there's going to be a sentiment from that committee, and then there's going to be the everyday Pittsburgher that's going to hit a pothole on their way to work. They're going to remember that when it snowed last month, my street wasn't plowed for the seventh or eighth time this winter. They're going to read reports in regards to jobs or downtown or a shooting in downtown about a month ago, and their dissatisfaction, the whole situation with the police chief and understanding how many police chiefs have we had over the last 4 years. That's different than a bunch of insiders picking who do we like more out of two politicians we've known for at least a decade. And I think that over the next month or so, those two guys are going to have to really connect less with the insider and more with the person that feels too much like an outsider.
So it's only weeks away now. I mean, when you think about a couple of months here, and it's going to be decided. I mean, again, for all intents and purposes, the primary is the election when the Democrat, and it'll be interesting. We're going to talk to the mayor about that, among other things, because to your point, the incumbent, regardless of what actually is happening, typically all the things you just listed, you just say, yeah, it's your fault.
Yep. You got to be able to hang your hat on something. And I think the issue that the incumbent has is, what do you hang your hat on that you feel good about? That other people will shake their head and be like, yes. That even your opponent will say, well, that's true. You want them to be able to say, well, that's true. Well, yeah, that's true too. Well, yeah, the unemployment did come down. And yeah, you know what? People are feeling more confident in spending money in downtown Pittsburgh these days. You want the opponent to at least acquiesce on some things that improved. If the perception, and again, as you well know, Larry, politics is often about perception and optics. If you can't shape that successfully, no one's going to look at the statistics. They're only going to go by how they feel. When you vote for an executive, president, governor, mayor, you vote for people that make you feel good and give you confidence less than you do about the statistics and what the objective reality may be.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, but Corey O'Connor has gained a lot of momentum, and apparently the endorsement of the Democratic committee, there's a little caveat to that, and Paul Rasmussen will have more on that at the bottom of this half hour. That said, when will people start be paying attention to the midterm elections? When does that kick in? Next year?
I would think that probably in the fall. Probably around, because if you think about it, if they pass the continuing resolution out of Capitol Hill, and if it goes through successfully without a hitch, you still got to come back and do this at the end of the fiscal year, which is in the fall. That's when you'll start hearing more and more candidates announcing races to go after people in vulnerable Republican seats. That's when people will really start counting the seats and saying, hey, you know, this seat should flip, this seat should flip. If all these things play out, the House either stays with the Republicans or goes to the Democrats. These are the vulnerable U.S. Senate seats that are also out there. And then there's still what happened internationally when it came to foreign affairs. What's going on with these trade wars? Did the tariffs ever get applied? Did they get rolled back? Did we get a new trade deal with Mexico and Canada? Has that settled down? What does it look like in Europe now? These are things that will impact the different houses. Again, foreign affairs, people will look at the Senate and say, well, you confirmed Marco Rubio. You confirmed Hegseth. Look at what's going on now. You got to go if they're in a vulnerable seat.
Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. More to come. I have some questions about other areas and cuts. And what about this riff between Elon Musk? They did a parody of it on Saturday Night Live. Did you see it?
I didn't get a chance to see it.
It was actually pretty funny. Interested to hear what United States Congressman Mark Kelly has to say about that, and the president wanting to share the details of the investigation of that assassination attempt and the other one that occurred while he was playing golf in Florida. Yep. And he was playing golf in Mar-a-Lago yesterday, and they had to scramble some fighter jets because an aircraft had violated the airspace. And then over the weekend, the president was in Mar-a-Lago. He wasn't at the White House, but the shooting, a suspect was shot outside of the White House. Not exactly sure of the details.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And for those folks that have a twisted perspective on that playing out, that's the worst case scenario. You do not want any elected official, much less the President of the United States, to be assassinated or to be shot at again or shot. The level of divisiveness and mistrust that would circulate around the country if that actually played out or went down again, I don't know if our country would recover from that very quickly. Our reaction in the summer from most corners was commendable. I don't know if we would react the same way now. And I don't want to risk that. I'm sorry. For those of you that might say that, you know, well, Trump brought this on himself. Politicians make decisions that we don't like all the time. We have a democracy that is supposed to have decorum for a reason. And, yeah, I don't like hearing these type of stories at all, ever.
That said, we'll get more details, but a lot happened over the weekend, and including in Canada. Now, suddenly, we're at odds with Canada because of the tariffs and a potential trade war, and Canadians' leading Liberal Party has chosen a central bank leader, Mark Carney, to replace the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who resigned in January. Transition comes with threats of takeover of Canada by tariffs. Trudeau recently accused Trump of planning, quote, a total collapse of the Canadian economy because that will make it easier to annex us. They're taking the potential of annexation serious there. CBS is Ed O'Keefe in Ottawa.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau saying goodbye to his party and hitting back hard at Trump.
We will continue to be in a trade war that was launched by the United States for the foreseeable future. So Canadians should continue to buy Canadian, continue to stand up for each other.
Trudeau is being succeeded by Mark Carney, an economist and former head of Canada's central bank, who's set to take power in the coming days and inherit a tariff war involving hundreds of billions of dollars in trade.
And Mark Carney quoted as saying they're ready to fight, literally, like they do in hockey. So you know that's going to get a lot of play.
And he put the dig out there that, like in hockey, Canada will win. That was one of the things he ended his speech with.
Right. And based on this recent match that they set up, in lieu of having an All-Star weekend, they did 2 weeks, and they're going to have
the Four Nations.
Yeah, the Four Nations hockey tournament that Canada did win after the U.S. beat them in the first game. In the final, it was a Canadian victory. And
in overtime, right?
And there were fights.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you remember in the first game in particular.
Pretty much immediately.
Right out of the gate. So there's some bad blood brewing with Canada and elected officials.
They know that when you match up the two economies, Larry, that the United States obviously has a bigger economy, bigger everything. But when you feel that your very existence is at stake, there's a level of fight that's going to come out that I don't think that the average American, particularly the average American serving in the Trump administration, really expected Canada to have. And it's when you have that level of fight, it stays, it sustains. It's akin to, not the same, because it's not a military war, but it's akin to what you see with Ukraine and Russia. The Russians should have beat the Ukrainians within a very short period of time. That war has now been going on for 3 years, because when you are fighting for your very existence, there's that extra gear, that extra energy, that extra fight you're willing to put into something. And the Canadians are not looking at this as a renegotiated business deal. They're looking at it as a threat to their national sovereignty. You're hearing elected officials repeatedly say that. And once you bring it to that level, it's truly game on, even though the economy of Canada is much smaller than what we have. And their share of the global economy is nowhere near ours.
And that said, what's happening today, Secretary of State Marco Rubio on his way to Saudi Arabia. He'll participate in discussions about the war between Russia and Ukraine. President Zelensky of Ukraine scheduled to travel to Saudi Arabia to be a part of it. He's asked to be a part of any negotiations to settle a war between his country and Russia, which is fair.
And expected.
Yeah, he would want to be. And that said, The president scheduled to hold a roundtable with technology CEO Council, and there'll be a new director, we presume. He'll swear in the United States Secret Service director, who was an agent and someone who served him with him, you know, was attached to him in between his first administration and this one. So that's kind of what's going on today. But the clock is ticking on a economic government shutdown by the end of the week.
Yeah, and with that, again, are they going to just pass a clean continuing resolution? Are they going to try to put some of the Doge cuts that we've been sitting and seeing and slide it into these negotiations? How much will Democrats acquiesce in the House? And then, of course, you're going to have to get to 60 votes in the Senate. So you're going to have some Democrats go along with this. Now, this might be, and it's interesting because the Democrats missed the opportunity last week with the State of the Union address slash joint address of Congress. They should have been gearing up for this with that moment and using that moment as the beginning of the negotiations for what has to happen this week. They missed that moment. Let's see if they take advantage of it now and get some things in the CR that they're going to be fighting for, that they can go back to the American people and say, look, we're pushing back on what's coming out of the Trump administration, and this is why you need to give us control of the House of Representatives.
Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard, and our Monday appointment listening guest, Lenny McAllister. I wanted to share with everybody, Lenny, and I want to thank Paul Rasmussen. So incoming Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said that President Trump imposed unjustified tariffs on what Canada builds and sells. So here's what he had to say.
We didn't ask for this fight, but Canadians are always ready when someone else drops the gloves. So the Americans, they should make no mistake, in trade as in hockey, Canada will win.
So that's, you know, the gloves are off, so to speak, in this case, literally.
Yeah.
You got a new prime minister coming in, potentially, all indications are. So that's where we are.
And there's he's going to come in with a level of political capital that the Trump administration does not come in with. And it's not because Donald Trump's not a new president. Obviously, he was newly inaugurated on January 20th. But again, he's unique because he's already been president. So you don't come in with the wind in your sails quite the same exact way you would if you were newly inaugurated like he did in 2017. Whereas this new prime minister is going to come in, and not only is he going to have a certain level of a honeymoon period because he's brand new, but now he's coming in with a rallied Canada, that's additional wind in his sails. He's going to be able to do some things a little differently, make some mistakes, but also be a little bit more aggressive for some successes that the Trump administration simply can't do right now.
Lenny, some people might suggest, okay, we get it with China in particular, or dealing with any other country, maybe Mexico too, because of the border issues and the drugs that have penetrated from the South. That's not the case with the North. Canada has been a reliable and very close ally. Why pick on them?
Because they're trying to, well, twofold. Number one, they're trying to renegotiate a deal that just happened about seven years ago, the USMCA. The second thing is they're trying to dismantle the USMCA in the sense that they're trying to bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States, which is a lot bigger of a ball of yarn to untangle than people want to think. A lot of our car parts, for example, are in both Canada and Mexico. You're not making a car out of the Midwest. You're making it across two borders, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And in order to bring those jobs back home, which, by the way, that's the Trump union voter, the person that works at the plants, not necessarily the people that are running the unions or that are the executives of the plants. In order to bring those jobs back for that voter, you have to dismantle certain core fundamental things about the agreement. That's going to take a lot longer than just a bunch of tariffs and hoping for the best. And that's what we're starting to learn right now. It's a ball of yarn that has been tangled up, intermingled for three decades now, and it's going to have to be taken apart slowly if you really want that manufacturing base to come back. And it's going to take states lowering their tax base and having certain deals for those manufacturers to come back to the states, because that's not going to just be a federal policy.
I couldn't wait.
Lenny McAllister.
We had a chance to talk to our Odyssey Sports Director today, Jeff Hathorn. Every Monday at this time.
Great weather this week.
You can see Jeff on the radio with a live stream at KDKRadio.com. Presented by Metropolitan Window Company.
Not this week.
Blockbuster trade. That's what people are saying.
Thank you.
With the Pittsburgh Steelers acquiring DK Metcalf from the Seattle Seahawks for a second-round pick. Jeff, is that a blockbuster?
It is for the Steelers. Listen, when you bring in a wide receiver, trading a second-round pick isn't necessarily a blockbuster, but when you bring in an area of need and a guy that has had at least 900 yards in every one of his NFL seasons, and he just turned 27 a couple of months ago, I think that's a blockbuster for the Steelers.
And I'm sure you saw that Ben Roethlisberger posted a video with his helmet on and I guess it's a faux locker room scene in his man cave, suggesting that he's so excited about this that he still has a few throws in him. Bottom line is, it seems like a big deal to him, too.
Yeah, and Pat Freiermuth was at some party, and he posted something on social media about, like, let's go. We got DK Metcalf. And to give you a little background on Metcalf, he's 6'4", 235, and he runs a 4.3 40. He has been the fastest clocked receiver during a game in NFL history. Now, they've only been doing this for a few years. But he had a play where he ran 22.6 miles an hour. So he's not only big physically, he can move down the field. And Arthur Smith, listen, Arthur Smith is a run-first guy, as is Mike. But when he was in Tennessee, he had a big receiver named A.J. Brown. And A.J. put up some really big numbers with him. Now the questions are going to be, does Pickens stay? What's that future? Do you still add a receiver? And then there obviously is the quarterback that they still need to figure out.
Yeah, the big question was, after the news, seemed like a lot of Steeler fans were excited about it, but then the next question was, well, who's going to be throwing to him? Will it be Russell Wilson, who threw, as you pointed out, to him his first 3 years? Will it be Justin Fields, or will it be Aaron Rodgers? Adam Schefter saying this morning he's being considered seriously by the Steelers.
Yeah, isn't that the million-dollar question? Or is there somebody else that they have in mind? Listen, I still go with the Rodgers that you put it with a grain of salt. Is that a leak to Schefter to say, hey, Justin, we got this contract for you. You want to sign this? Because we're going to talk to Aaron. So I want to see a little bit more time pass. And listen, Rodgers had a decent year last year. Threw for nearly 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns. On a bad team. He had an Achilles injury a couple of years ago. He's 41. Can he still play? Yes. Is he part of their, you know, someone that can build to your future? No, he's a stopgap. There's still a lot of time to figure it out. But yeah, I honestly thought they would have signed Fields by now, and obviously there's still time to do so.
So when they decide what they're going to do with quarterback, yeah, That'll be huge news for Steelers fans.
And Larry, how it works is, up until noon today, the Steelers have exclusive rights to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Once noon hits, they have what they call the legal tampering period, which means for 2 days, other teams can make offers to see who's interested. And then when the new league year starts on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, those players can officially sign. So listen, when we say legal tampering period, know that the agents pretty much know by now what these situations are. But the pressure gets built up a little bit more because, say, if Justin Fields doesn't sign by noon, then there's a little bit of leverage if Fields goes and talks to other teams. So we'll see. I mean, it's when you don't have a quarterback, it's always like the craziest time for an NFL team in an offseason. I would say this has been a pretty crazy offseason for the Steelers, but now the Steelers become a better destination because of DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it kind of elevates the offense, and we overlook the fact that they are a playoff team. I understand they haven't won a playoff game in a while, but they still are a playoff caliber team, so if they can find ways to uplift both sides of the ball, this is going to be very attractive for Steelers fans.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Larry, there's still work to do. You got defensive line. You need a cornerback. You need another receiver. You need to make sure that that offensive line has a maybe a veteran swing tackle to go with it. You need running back. I mean, there's a number of positions that still need to be filled with this roster, but getting a guy like Metcalf, and I think this too, and people might say fifth highest paid receiver, by the time this contract gets 3 or 4 years old, I bet you that money looks pretty good because those numbers are only going to go up.
And the big deal of the day is Josh Allen's contract, $330 million. And what, $240 of that is guaranteed?
Yeah, and unlike what happened in Cleveland, I think there's a little bit more track record that this is going to work for the Buffalo Bills. Listen, I credit the Bills. They feel like they're in their window. Even though they haven't cracked through to win an AFC championship, they feel like this is their time, and they want to lock up their most important piece and then see what they have to play with room, cap-wise. CMVP, I mean, the guy had a great year. It's just that Buffalo hasn't been able to get over the hump. And that's what makes this AFC, like even as the Steelers add Metcalf and we'll see what they do at quarterback, even with all the improvements they make, they still have to go through Burrow and Jackson in their own division, then Allen, Mahomes, Stroud, what the Chargers might be, excuse me, next year. I mean, this is still a gauntlet because of the other teams as much as what the Steelers do.
All right, that said, it kind of got lost now since this announcement, what the Penguins did at the end of the trade deadline in the NHL. Have they improved the team?
They've improved their chances for the future. Their goal is pretty obvious. Not that they want to throw a whole bunch of minor leaguers on this roster, but it's about providing themselves opportunities in the next 3 years to get back to being a championship team. And now they'll have 30 draft picks in the next 3 years. Some of those they'll use as collateral in trades. And just because Ricard Raquel wasn't traded at the deadline, he'll be shopped again in the offseason. And same with Erik Karlsson. They'll see if anybody. And the best thing that could happen would be for Tristan Jarry to play like he did yesterday for a series of games. And then maybe there would be some interest in the offseason, even if just unloading his contract and kind of starting over at the goaltender position.
And your captain, Sidney Crosby, 2 goals, another ridiculous, tremendous effort to get the empty netter too. So much, though, I forget who the defenseman was for the Wild, but he broke his stick over the goalpost, so frustrated that he couldn't catch Sid.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't want you to mention his name anyway.
Good point. All right, before you go, Panthers basketball, they ended on a high note at home over the weekend, so they'll be facing, as their ACC tournament gets underway, in North Carolina in Charlotte, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon against the Fighting Irish. Is there any chance for Panthers fans, if they would run the table and win this tournament, could they get in? Is that guaranteed?
Well, we saw it last year with NC State. NC State barely got into the ACC tournament, ran the table, and then made it to the Final Four. I'm not necessarily saying that this is the same team, but there's one team in the league that I think Pitt would have a hard time beating ever, and that's Duke. But, I mean, they played tight with Clemson. They've played tight with Louisville. They don't have Damian Dunn this time, which makes it a little bit harder, but they could compete with Notre Dame. They could beat Notre Dame. Then they've got North Carolina. That's a beatable team for them. And then let's see how the rest of the, of the other side of the bracket works out. But, I mean, they could win a couple of games. It's just they haven't shown that consistency in a long time to make you believe that they could have that run. But when you watch them play earlier in the year, you probably would have believed they did have a run in them.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Jeff Hathorn, you're going to be a busy man, as always. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it. Our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Weather turns bad. Hopefully, it'll be a while. We got the KDK Radio Storm Center brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the Yodel Van. Butler Transit Authority in McVay Plumbing and Heating. And we're available 24/7, including our free Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Aaron Ferragonio is our producer. How are you holding up with the time change? You all right?
I'm getting through it. I didn't actually feel it early this morning, but I think as the morning goes on, you're kind of, I don't know, just a little out of it, but I like the sun. We're going to have more daylight, which is great.
Well, you know what I did? I stayed up, and I try not to do that on Sunday nights, you know, to get the week started.
Right.
But I got hooked on this White Lotus on HBO, and there are 4 episodes in, and they dropped the new episode Sunday night at 9.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, no, I'll wait. I'll watch it another night this week. It just happened to. But then...
Hooked you in.
Then I wasn't as tired as I normally would be. And I'm thinking, well...
That's true.
I got a normal amount of sleep overnight Saturday, so ended up watching it.
So, question. Did you see The White Lotus Season 1?
Yes.
So, is the theme song of Season 3... I've heard rumors that it's not as good as previous seasons.
I didn't give that any thought.
Love it. You're just focused on the show.
Yeah.
The meat.
And now, I talked to Marty. Marty said... He and Christine watched the first 2 seasons, and they didn't like this one as much. I'm kind of, you know, this is what new streaming television is all about.
Right.
Just they got to create a plot, and it's like a, it's like the board game, you know, Clue.
Right.
Where every week they have different.
It's so good.
Character depth, and you're not sure what's going to happen.
How it's going to tie
but
in.
I'll tell you the show. Then I'm also watching Paradise on Hulu.
I knew it.
And you haven't started watching it, have you?
I haven't.
Didn't know anything about it when I started. Just heard it was going to be good. It's about the lead is a Secret Service agent who discovers, and I'm not giving anything away because it happens early. He goes to the Oval Office and the president is dead. And it starts there. And you have no idea...
What's going to...
How wild it gets and how deep it goes.
So you are a fan. I think sometimes, do you ever watch a trailer and there's so much happening, it's almost too overwhelming? I went and I looked at the Paradise trailer and it looks phenomenal, but it's like teetering the line of like too much, but you enjoy it.
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'm tuning in. TV shows, especially the ones that have come out within the past few years, seem to capture me almost as much as movies used to lately.
Yeah, and in the way that it's appointment viewing, but if you wait, you can binge watch.
Exactly. It takes patience.
Which is the attractive part.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, these stream, and there's so many of them. I don't know how you keep track of them.
So many.
And every streaming service is trying to keep your attention and your subscription, most importantly. So they keep battling each other to put out, you know, the most intriguing. They're always trying to outdo each other.
And I know for actors, it's probably a great time to be alive because just the world of roles, not that it makes it any easier to get into, break into your first big role, but there's so many shows out there, shows that haven't even gone into production yet. Can you imagine?
No, to your point, yeah. There's like Jeremy Renner's in Pittsburgh shooting Mayor of Kingstown.
Right.
But right now, that's really the only thing going on locally.
Right. Sometimes Pittsburgh has numerous at the same time.
Over the years, we've had a lot of major movies.
Concussion.
And television series made here.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight Rising.
Fences. I mean,
you go all the way back to Silence of the Lambs. But
right.
So White Lotus is one of them. They're in 8 episodes. They just posted season 3, episode 4, if you're playing along at home. All right, what was that dirt that came with the snow over the weekend, Friday into Saturday? Did you notice... Maybe you wondered, what is on my car? Because it wasn't exactly salt. And we're going to explain. We have an answer for that coming up. 925 at KDKA. And Marty Griffin, 10 until 2, and we'll check in with Marty in just a few minutes. And we just got word through social media channels first that Craig Wolfley, Steelers' longtime color analyst and former player, has passed overnight. And we're being joined by Jeff Hathorn and our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. Gentlemen, on top of the news we've had in the last couple of weeks, this really hits hard and close to home. His wife, Faith, writing, "So sorry to tell you that Craig lost his short but courageous battle with cancer. Took a turn for the worse yesterday when his body started to struggle to keep his blood pressure up. Last night, they moved him to ICU, but were unable to stabilize him. He went home to be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." 4:31. And hopefully greeted by his best friend, Tunch, as well as his brother, Dale, were there waiting with the big bear hug. "I will keep you posted on arrangements. All the immediate family knows, so feel free to share."
Wow.
And,
man, what a personality. What a personality.
I just saw him a few weeks ago. And I know how much he struggled when Tunch passed. They were like glued at the hip, right, Jeff?
Well,
oh, I don't even know if that's a strong enough phrase to use for their friendship. And not only did they use their friendship in their work environment, they hung out personally and did tremendous work for the Light of Life mission and made that their mission to try to make other people's lives better. You knew them both. I mean, Craig was always happy, mm-hmm. You know, even if things weren't going well, he would have something positive to say. He's just,
It's tough, Jeff. I mean, these guys, both Tunch and along with Mike Webster and Craig all attended South Hills Bible Chapel together. They were tight, really tight.
And both men of great faith, as Jeff pointed out, did so much for Light of Life Rescue Mission and helping the hungry. Craig was 66 years old.
And Larry, let me say this. I think people would hear Craig and you almost feel like he was that fun uncle or cousin. That was him. Like, what you heard was authentic Craig, the little sayings, how he would mix words, but make no mistake, he was a very smart man. Two-time All-American at Syracuse, played for a decade with the Steelers, and as you guys know, like, he was competitive. In his off seasons, he would enter weightlifting competitions, and he was a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He boxed, like he could do all of it. Like, we would always joke, like, okay, the Steelers are tough, but I would probably pick a fight with one of the Steelers before I would have picked one with Craig.
And he and his
not
wife.
Not that I ever saw him mad. I did.
I never saw him mad.
I would have been worried.
To that point, Jeff, he and his wife Faith, owners of the Wolfpack Boxing Club in Bridgeville, where they taught boxing, martial arts, and other athletics.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but what I'm reading here says that he entered the Strongman, World's Strongest Man competition back in 1981. He placed fifth.
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
That was a year into his pro career. Now, you know, they didn't make... It's not... They didn't make... money. They didn't make the kind of money we see now. And even some of that prize money and some of that stuff was valuable to these guys. And man, Craig loved being in shape. He would try all these new things. I remember when kettlebells first became a thing and he had all these kettlebell workouts.
Yeah, this comes as a complete shock to most people. Again, he was apparently only diagnosed a couple of weeks ago. So on one hand, it wasn't a long struggle like we saw with his buddy Tunch, but those two are thinking of those two together. But I'm thinking of his wife and all the people, the fans. Yeah. Loved him. He was our John Madden, right?
There was no time during the 1980s that he was not like just a rock on the offensive line. Played the majority of his time. He was a left guard, just as reliable as day and night. And he was a fifth-round draft pick, guys. Look at the career that he wound up having.
Well,
And yet, he made a bigger impact off it.
Yep.
Which says something about the man. And he used to call Tunch his Chaluch. And I guess that's the only thing that maybe brings a smile to my face is that those two are reunited. But just horrible news.
Yeah. Sad news. Again, Craig Wolfley, Steelers radio color analyst and longtime player, passed overnight at the age of 66. Jeff, thank you. And Paul, thank you. It's been a rough road the last few weeks. And Marty, I know it's been an emotional roller coaster over the weekend. Services for our colleague John Burnett.
Horrible.
Tough for his children and wife Debbie and all those who knew him so well, like you and your wife Christine.
Makes you think of your own life, your own wife, your own kids, and your mortality. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Hey, you're a weather guy. What's up with all the mud on the cars? What was that?
That was from out west in the atmosphere, and then when it snowed, instead of being rain would have washed it all away, but it came with the snow, and it stuck on all the cars, and people were like, what is that?
I had no idea. I've never seen I don't really care that much. But it looked like I'd been on a trail or something.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And so it was actually in the snow.
Yes. And even if you got a little snow, it left the residual. And some people got a lot of snow. We got 3 inches of snow Friday night, believe it or not.
I saw lines 7 blocks long at car washes.
And have you noticed there are more and more car washes than ever?
Good for them.
We were kids.
Hey, I know you're a big shot and you get to hang out in Florida and play baseball with the Pirates and stuff, but every time you come back, you don't feel the water on the coffee machine. Every single friggin' time.
I bought that machine.
I don't care what you bought. Was that 20 years ago? Who gives a crap?
It's last year.
Put the damn water in it. Come on, man. Hey, so last night, Corey, Ed, this Democratic Committee thing.
It was close, but...
Hold on.
Corey won.
274
to
270.
That's close.
Corey was telling everyone he's going to win by 75. So everybody with their chest puffed out, what did this prove? That progressives turn out. Because most of those committee members are progressives. And Corey has said he's a progressive. Obviously, he has some convincing to do. It's actually fascinating. And you wouldn't know it because the local papers and local TV station didn't cover it because they have no staff anymore, and that's just the truth. Downtown was mayhem Saturday night during this big thaw crap. Gangs of teens went berserk. Larry, I know because we've all been to that Capitol Grill downtown.
Right.
The valet's right outside. They beat the crap out of a bunch of cars, like damaged a lot of cars. They were physically fighting business owners. Seriously. Gangs of 75 kids took over downtown. Trash cans, garbage, busted things. Not one arrest. What does that tell you? Do you think someone said, because the cops do their job, but do you think someone said to someone, hey, let's keep this low profile, right? We're kind of in transition. Ed's telling everyone, you're going to hear some sound, man, during this show. It's going to blow your mind. It was, Larry, robberies, beatings, fights, none of it. Not one smidgen of it on the local news. And not one arrest reported.
Coming up.
Come on, man.
Plus, Congressman Mike Kelly.